The following program is brought to you in living color.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world, she walks into mine.
Good speech. Nice and short.
Leaves more time for drinking.
Break out the ale! These men are thirsty!
It's the Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for the Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Headstrong, passionate, carefree, tolerant black sheep of the family.
Welcome to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we are. We are your media resource for everything about that cute, roly-poly, squishy little grape. And we are off and rolling to a lovely Wine Crush today because I am a woman on a mission. I am motivated this week because when it comes down to it, I have been had. Now, not necessarily totally had. I haven't totally been conned. But I like to think that I am fairly wine savvy, that I pay attention. Now, I have a lot of people out there that are going to argue that I do not pay attention to whatever they're doing, but I do. And I like to think that I have a sophisticated enough intellect that I can follow pretty much any wine conversation or any wine put before me and not have an issue with it. Well, this week, we're all going to have a little bit of humble pie because I'm going to tell you a story and then I'm going to tell you how it can affect you. Ultimately, I have a lot of people that come to me and ask me to try different wines, and I taste wines, and I select wines, and I pick wines. So on any given day, I can have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 15 different wines, and of course, I'm good, and I spit. But people who know me well enough, they either won't show me the package, they won't tell me what a wine cost, they will just put the wine in my glass and say, here, read it, tell me. So sure enough, this person came to me and put a white wine in my glass. It was the right temperature, meaning it was not overly chilled. I tasted it. He asked me, do you like the Chardonnay? I said, actually, yes, I do. I like this very much. And we proceeded to talk about it, and I gave him what I thought the price range was. And I said, yes, definitely like this, to the point where we continued sitting there drinking that specific wine and talking about a gamut and range of a whole bunch of other things. And so finally, I'm like, okay, that's it. You know, show me what the wine is. Tell me what it is. And what he did is he handed me a bottle. It was actually a barrel bottle. He's like, well, I'm glad you liked it. You know, here's when it's coming out. Here's what we're doing. All right. Didn't think twice about it. 3 days later, I get bottles into my office sent from the same winery and the guy. And what it is, it's the package approval on the wine I had sat there and tasted. Well, here's what was so fascinating about it. As I sat there, I drank the wine. He told me it was Chardonnay. Now, if anybody is going to know what a Chardonnay tastes like, I know what a Chardonnay tastes like. I open up the box, I look at the package, and what does it say? It says California white wine and how it's going to be marketed. Now, I realize to most of you, that's not having been had. I realize to most of you, you think that's no big deal. In fact, you're still focused on the fact that I sat back and just got to drink wine and talk about it. But ultimately, here I was, I had geared my mind around picking a new Chardonnay, something I liked and something I would be happy to recommend to restaurants and different people I worked with. All of a sudden to find out I had been misled. I had been led down the primrose path. And the only reason because of that is now it's labeled differently than what's in the bottle. Is Chardonnay in the bottle? Absolutely. Does the bottle tell me that Chardonnay is in the bottle? No, it does not. So that is the theme for today's show.
Do you mean to tell me that your discerning palate did not pick up on the fact that that was not Chardonnay?
No, it was Chardonnay.
Oh, it was Chardonnay.
I was told it was Chardonnay. But when I actually saw the bottle and the package, all it said was white wine.
Ah.
Generic, easygoing, easy to describe. But nowhere on that bottle did it say Chardonnay, even though I had been told and knew it was Chardonnay in the bottle. So, as I was so rudely interrupted, that leads to the theme for today's show. You can't judge a book by its cover. Now, several of our listeners have gotten involved and you've sent me emails. And I will reiterate again, I do read your emails. I do try and answer you. But what I tend to do if I'm really feeling organized and productive is I save them up so I can kind of have a pattern and a theme. So for those of you who have sent me emails and questions regarding wine bottles, wine labels, and things of that ilk, today is your day. Your question will most likely be on the show. For those of you who have not sent anything in, please do. You can reach me at winecrush.com. You can reach me at lauralawson@winecrush.com. You can call Kent and tell him what a wonderful man he is putting up for me at 877-4CRUSH1. But ultimately, do reach out because, yes, this show is about you. But before I get too far off on my can't judge a book by the cover and talking about label, let's do give our wine recommendations for the week, because actually they're going to be fun springboards. Now, before I start these recommendations, I really like both these wines. I may refer back to them during the show because of some ambiguity on how they are listed or labeled or printed or presented to anybody. But ultimately, these two wines are great, especially for this time of year. The white is brand new to the market, and it is something I think is really, really fascinating. Darcy Kent. Darcy Kent Gruner Vetliner. That's a mouthful. Yes, I understand that. Darcy Kent has been an artist in California for a while. A lot of people who have been out to Napa Valley, you've seen her paintings. They're very vibrant. They're very colorful. They're usually of vineyards. But she and her husband have gotten together, and now they make their own wine. And the family, one way or the other, has been involved in wine for four generations. But the Gruner Vetliner they make is out of Monterey. And what's really, really neat about this is, let's face facts, California is not known for an overwhelming production of Gruner Vetliner. This wine is really tart. It's got great green apple. It's got great acidity. It's very soft. It's very sexy. You get some peach in it. And I mean this in a good sense. You get that great wet concrete flavor, that chalky minerality that you really expect from these type of wines. So this is great. It is only the second year they have produced this Gruner Vetliner, and to my understanding, it's really the first time it's ever been out in broad market. So please do look for this. There's only 2,500 cases made. It is, once again, Darcy Kent Gruner Vetliner out of Monterey. So there is your white selection. And let me also add about this, Darcy Kent being an artist, of course, her paintings are on the label. So very, very visually stimulating and very pretty to look at for those of you looking for a great summertime gift. Red wine recommendation, also coming from California today, is from the winery Wattle Creek, and that's W-A-T-T-L-E, not Wattle, like Ken waddles into the studio late, but more Wattle Creek Winery.
That was low.
Yeah, I'm sorry, were you paying attention?
I was.
Anyway, so the red wine is called Triple Play Rhone Red. And once again, I have picked something a little off the beaten path for California, but this wine is just such a great dynamic blend for those of you who are doing picnics, for those of you who are doing barbecues, for those of you who are doing different things outside. It is a blend of Syrah, Petite Syrah, and Viognier. And yes, that is a white grape they have blended into this red wine. For those of you who understand Rhone, you know that oftentimes Viognier is put into Rhone reds to soften them up, to help them be a little bit smoother, to decrease their tannins, to give them a little more floral characteristic. In fact, if you're drinking Chateauneuf du Pape, you can count on the fact you're drinking Viognier. Anyway, this wine, it's made in Mendocino. We're finding a lot of wines lately coming out of Mendocino that are just fascinating. They're good. They're robust. They're cherry. They have a great mouthfeel to them. But this is blueberry. It's got oak. It has blackberry. It has boysenberry. All the happy little berries you could ask for are in this. But what's great is it has an earthiness to it. It does have a mushroom. It does have a leaf characteristic that really keeps it from being over the top and too jammy. So there's your red wine recommendation for the week. That would be Wattle Creek Winery Triple Play Rhone Red. And, of course, both of these will be available on our website for you to check out. For those of you who, once again, misunderstood the waddling of Ken and the wattle of the Rhone Red. Make sense? I think so. Kent's still glaring at me at this point
about
my low blow.
You just called me Ken, so I didn't respond to that. I thought you must be talking about somebody else.
No, I'm working on my elocution today. I'm making sure that I'm trying to enunciate all my words in case you want to get into another argument about what I may or may not have said on air.
No, I don't want to get into any arguments with you today.
You're a very intelligent man. I like it when you see reason.
Yes.
So, obviously, we're looking to judge a book by its cover. So I want you to sit back and think about this. We have done shows here on The Crush where we've talked about labels. We've talked about critter labels. We've talked about why you would pick a wine in a grocery store. Does the picture make a difference? How does marketing skew you? We've also answered questions over the years about what has to be on a label and what you expect. But ultimately, it comes down to, What is there truthfully on a wine label? We're going to investigate that question and a few others right after this break.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. The question on the table for today is, can you judge a book by its cover? So let's start out thinking about just a basic California, United States, let's call it Northern Hemisphere, bottle of wine. Think about when you go to your Mega Mart and you have selected the wine. Now, you have picked your wine out based on the fact that you're in the mood for a certain varietal. you have picked the wine out because you like a producer, or you like a vintage, or you like a varietal, or you like the year. I don't know why you have picked the bottle of wine out, but nevertheless, you have not walked up and down a grocery store aisle to see a whole bunch of bottles that have no decoration on it and said, oh, well, I'll just take that one. Ultimately, something on that label, something about the winery, something you have read, seen, tasted, heard, encouraged you to buy that. So you have the bottle in your hand. You look at it. It says Lawson Chardonnay. That's exactly what you came to get. Now, do you truly know what you have just purchased? What exactly do you know? That's what we're going to look at today. Now, let's regroup and cover this. By law, there are only 7 things that have to be on a label in the United States. And I'm going to give them all to you at once, and then we're going to take a look at them individually before it's over with. You have to have a brand name. You have to have the bottler or producer's address. You have to have the type of wine. You have to have the alcohol content of said wine. You have to have the net contents of the bottle you have selected, meaning how much liquid is in there. Then you have to have a sulfite warning, and then you have to have the government warning. So those are the 7 things that have to be on a bottle of wine. And if you want to think about this, think about everything we've covered. We know who made it. We know where it was made. We know what type of wine it is. We know what's in it in the fact of sulfites or anything that may hurt us. We know what kind of alcohol is in it. My gosh, we know everything we need to know about that wine, right? Wrong. So let's kind of look at this bit by bit by bit. Let's start, number one, with brand name. All right, I have bought Lawson Chardonnay. I like Lawson Chardonnay. But do you know over here on that sale bin, I'm seeing Laura's Chardonnay. Ooh, that's cheaper. I might go try Laura's Chardonnay. So sure enough, you buy a bottle of Laura's Chardonnay, you take it home. Well, is that really Laura's Chardonnay? It's always fascinating because we've spoken several times on the show about second labels or different labels. So brand name, the one that comes to mind, Hawk's Crest. Hawk's Crest is a second label for Stag's Leap. So if you look at the back of Hawk's Crest, does it say Stag's Leap on the back? No. Are you drinking Stag's Leap? Not necessarily. But nevertheless, is Hawk's Crest considered a second label of Stag's Leap? Yes. So just because you have a brand name on the front of a bottle does not necessarily mean that you can fully identify where the winery came from, how the winery produced it, or what anything as far as the traceability of that wine. My favorite part of this, when we're talking about brand names, when we're talking about who produces what, is all the co-ops that have sprung up all over California. And when I say co-op, what I mean is that seriously, Kent could go to Napa Valley right now. He could go buy 3 tons of Cabernet that have been crushed from last year. So somewhere there is sitting in a tanker 3 tons of Cabernet. Kent right now, from where he is sitting in the studio, could call, put it on his credit card, have it shipped over to one of these co-ops, and either thrown in a fermenter, thrown in a barrel, thrown in some kind of box, and create Kent's own wine. Kent has his own wine now. He's never seen it. He's never touched it. He doesn't know anything about it, but it's about to be Kent's Cabernet. Now, it was produced and bottled at the Napa Valley Co-op. So by having Kent's wine on it, what does that tell you? Is the brand name Kent? Who made it? That's all you really know. So I want you to think about that. Number one, they say by law, brand name has to be on the bottle. The only thing a brand name tells you is exactly that. What I have decided to name this wine, whether it's Laura Chardonnay or Kent Cabernet. That's it. You can't take anything else past that.
Now, is the location on the bottle in much smaller print usually, or how does that work?
Location is a whole, we're going to take a whole segment for location.
Oh, okay.
We aren't even going to begin to go to location right now. But right now, I do like to take people's emails. I do like to take any kind of questions they may have. And now seems to be a very good time to slide this email in before we look at a little more structure when it comes to a wine label. So right now, I have an email. And this is from Karen, and Karen writes this from Charlotte, North Carolina. Karen writes, what is the age of the vines to allow a winery to put old vine on the label? Well, Karen, we're going to intersperse some answers to this question all the way through. But what this means, for those of you who have purchased wine, and you have bought a wine that said Lawson's Zinfandel Old Vine, You follow me? Old Vine, Lawson Zinfandel. This label has been put on this bottle to let you know that, in theory, the Zinfandel grapes have been grown on old vines that are trunk-like. They're old. They're gnarly. They're putting really extracted grapes out. So there's going to be some great, great, thick, wonderful, robust wine in the bottle. Well, Karen, not so much. When you're looking at that wine label and you see it says old vines, old vines doesn't mean anything. That old vine could mean 1 year. It could mean 2 years. It could mean 5 years. It could mean 7 years. There is no set standard on this. So when you see old vine on a label, it doesn't mean anything to you. Now, a lot of the vineyard producers and a lot of the winemakers have gotten together, and they kind of think that 35 years is an acceptable age on a vine to have it be deemed as old vine. But is that really old vine? When you start looking at Australia, when we go down under, you have 80-year-old vines, you have 90-year-old vines, you have 110-year-old vines. Well, in comparison, our little 35-year-old Zinfandels just look, well, like newborns. We might as well put them in a diaper and put them in a stroller and roll them down the street. So ultimately, there is nothing you can determine by an old vine saying. So that is the kind of thing we are going to analyze and we're going to have fun with today, is looking at these random things and to figure out what things on a label mean. So now we know necessarily that brand names don't mean anything. Now we know that the concept of old vine doesn't mean anything. And as long as I'm kind of run with this, let me go ahead and tell you what else doesn't mean anything on a label. Reserve. Winemaker's reserve. Vintner's reserve. Aged reserve. Cask. Cave. Limited. Special select. Choice. First press, first crush, free run, 10th row, winery select, winery only. Owner stash, owner reserve, barrel one, barrel select, hidden barrel, or limited release. I literally picked up all these before I came here to the studio today just by walking down the aisle of the grocery store. In writing all these down and relaying it to you, the point being, is there is no special designation on any label out there. You can label whatever you want to. I can have it be Laura Lawson Chardonnay, Ultimate Private. This bottle's been hidden in the back of the winery for 200 years reserve, and by law, I can get away with it. Does it have to have been hidden for 200 years? No. Is it my reserve? No. Do I only have to make 10 cases of it? No. I may make 100,000 cases of it, and you never know the difference. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we will take a little bit further in-depth look at our labels and figure out what else you truly need to know.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings!
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings!
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're gonna get some savings, savings,
much
savings.
Better!
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson. This is The Wine Crush. Today we are exploring, do you trust your wine labels? Do they really tell you everything that you think they do? In the first segment, we looked at 2 of the 7 things that are supposed to be on the label by law. We looked at brand name, and we looked at the producer, the bottler's address, and we realized how you can find gaps in those. Here is one of my favorite ones, though. This is the one that got me. Type of wine. Now, by law, type of wine has to be on that label. It has to tell you. But what's interesting is, by law, when I say type of wine, I don't have to tell you that's a Chardonnay. I don't have to tell you it's a Cabernet, a Merlot, a Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Franc. I have a brand new varietal now, outstanding. So I don't have to tell you anything except for 1. Is it a table wine? Is it a fortified wine? Is it a vermouth? Is it sparkling? Is it a fruit wine? When the government tells the bottlers that it has to designate what type of wine it is, that's all they have to tell you, is what type of wine. So, in theory, I could have a Lawson Chardonnay table wine. Or, as I pointed out in the opening, I can have a bottle of white wine that is indeed all Chardonnay. Now, why do people look at doing this? Why can it be confusing? At this point, I have another email. And this email is from Rex in New York City. And Rex writes, can you please review what a meritage is? How come some blends don't put the word meritage on their labels? And finally, is meritage a claret? All right, Rex. This all goes hand in hand to type of wine, so I'm going to have some fun with this. Ultimately, I don't have to put anything I don't want to on that label, except for varietal specifics. So I'm going to kind of answer question and preach a little bit about types of wine at this point. When you sit down and you have a bottle of wine and it's marked Cabernet Sauvignon, what that means is that it has to be 75% Cabernet. 25% of that can be whatever else I felt like putting in there. Now, granted, there are some other specific terms. If I'm in California, 85% of that, if it comes from an AVA, has to be that varietal. There's some tricks, there's some tips, but ultimately think of it this way. If I'm drinking a wine that says United States on it, 75% is Cabernet or Chardonnay or whatever else. 25% can be something else. As far as if I'm drinking something that's from Russian River Valley, if I'm drinking something that's from an AVA, then 85% of it has to be Cabernet. So going back to Rex's question about a Meritage, can you review again what a Meritage is? A Meritage is a blend, straight simple. Now, here's where it gets interesting. For those of you who have seen the labels in your Megamarts about these big red blends, and it actually does say Meritage on the label, to have the word Meritage on a label means they're part of the Meritage Society, and that means they have paid a fee to use the word Meritage, and all it means is that that wine has to consist of the Bordeaux varietals, which means it has to be Cabernet, Cabernet Franc, or Cabernet Flanc, if you were listening earlier, Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. Those five grapes are what go into a Meritage. You can put them together in whatever little blend way you deem fit. Whatever tastes best for you, feel free, knock yourself out. Even if you only want to use 0.1% of Petit Verdot because you don't like it, so be it. As long as you have that 0.1%, you're free to do what you want to. So ultimately, that is what a Meritage is. A Meritage with the name Meritage on the label is a blend of five grapes somehow put together in a red wine. Now, Rex's next part of the question was, how come some blends don't put the word Meritage on their labels? Simply because they didn't pay the money to the Meritage Society to put Meritage on their labels. Does that stop people from doing their own blends? No, absolutely not. In fact, by not putting the word Meritage on their label, they can put whatever they want to into the red wine to have a red blend. They don't have to stick with the five Bordeaux classic varietals. They can use Syrah. They can use Petit Syrah. They can use pretty much any red. They can put Pinot Noir in it. They can put Zinfandel, Carignan, anything they can get their hands on to make the blend. Now, here is one of my favorite ways of looking at this before I give everybody a bad perception on what they're drinking. Yes, just because you go buy that bottle of Lawson or Kent Cabernet at the store, only 75% of it has to be Cabernet. But most of your producers want to produce the best wine out there. So they use the extra room they have, that extra 15 or 25%, to put Merlot, to put Petit Verdot, Cabernet Franc, some kind of grape that's going to make the wine taste better. I mean, absolutely, it is not to get over on the American public to make them drink some kind of plonk. It's to find something they like and want to buy again. My favorite blend when it comes to somebody doing a proprietary name in a red, I have more fun with Chateau St. Jean Cinq Cépages. I love this wine. I have always loved this wine. I think Margaux does a great job over at St. Jean, but Cinq Cépages to me is the perfect example of what can be confusing in a label. I've gotten in this debate several times. I'll go to a restaurant. I will pick up a wine list. I will look at the Cabernet section, and there will be St. Jean Cinq Cépages. Now, I want everybody to take a moment. I realize not everyone is truly fluent in foreign languages. I actually did have a sales rep one time ask me what the big deal about Cinco de Mayo was, but that's a whole different story. Seriously, if you think Cinq Cépages, it means blend of five. So Chateau St. Jean Cinq Cépages is a blend of five. It says so in the name. So imagine my surprise when I pick up the wine list and I see Chateau St. Jean Cinq Cépages Cabernet. Well, number one, I have someone who has not paid attention to their wine list. Number two, I have a sommelier who doesn't read. But I can even let that slide a little bit because that is exactly why, Rex, some wineries don't put the word Meritage on their labels. This means that they can do whatever they want to with the blend from year to year. Now, I will say this. In 05, I believe that was the year on the Cinq Cépages, the sommelier was accurate in having it in the Cabernet section because 85% of that wine was Cabernet. But next year, he's going to have to move it because the next year, 25% could be Petit Verdot, 25% could be Cabernet Franc. Those that use these proprietary names can put whatever percentage they want to. Now, granted, let's face facts, coming from Napa, coming from Sonoma, is Cabernet going to be the predominant grape in this wine? I would hope so. But it doesn't mean that it's going to meet the 75-85% rule. So, Rex, I know that was a long roundabout answer to your question. Oh, and I'm getting pointed at. I forgot, Rex, I did not answer the last part of your question. Is a Meritage a claret? No, a Meritage is not a claret. Meritage is a blend of what? There we go. We all said it out loud in our cars. A Meritage is a blend of five grapes. A claret, just to confuse the issue, is essentially what the British started calling Bordeaux. Now, how's that for confusing? A claret, once again, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything on the label. Doesn't mean it's English. Doesn't mean it's French. It's just a term that the British used to call Bordeaux. Don't ask me why. They like to make their own labels. Go figure. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about location, location, and location.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
I'm sitting at midcourt, and the last time around, the wave took out half of my Coke. And it's coming again.
The wave is coming.
We, the fans, stop this wave and protect our Coke. It's still coming. Cheerleaders, fire the t-shirt guns. Buzzer guy, distract them with buzzing. Wolf, howl. Hold on! Looks like we did it. Nice job, everybody.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
To grades, make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and we are judging books by their cover and figuring out today whether or not you can trust the label on your wine. So far, we have totally told you that you can't trust the brand name. You can't trust really the bottler's producer. You can't really trust the type of wine because just because it says Cabernet or just because it says white wine doesn't mean it's necessarily in the bottle. Now, here is another fun one. Where is it from? I pick up a bottle of Chardonnay. It's from California. Outstanding. Do I really know that what's in the bottle came from California? Well, actually, this will make you all feel better. If you buy a bottle of wine that says California on it, 100% of those grapes actually were grown in the state of California. So there. Yay, California has it right.
Finally.
Now, the rest of the country, not so much. You buy a bottle of wine that says North Carolina, Virginia, Idaho, Mexico, New Mexico, whatever it says on it, only 75% of the grapes in that bottle have to come from that state. So, yeah, no, psych, you're wrong. But anyway, it should give you an idea of how much leeway some things have. Now, also keep in mind that the 85% rule holds true in California, too, meaning if I have Kent's Cabernet from Russian River, only 85% of those grapes have to come from Russian River. The other 15% of the grapes can really come wherever they want to. If I want to take them out of San Luis Obispo, I can. So once again, just because it says Russian River, it only means 85% of those grapes had to come from Russian River. So once again, now I have my location. I think it's from Russian River, but I can't guarantee 100% of it's from Russian River. So there, I don't really know where it's from. Or do I? Now, see, that's up to you to decide. This is where you have the flexibility. Now, I am not saying that this is a bad thing. I think flexibility in all these percentages are a good thing. And before I get too carried away and get any of you upset and protesting, keep in mind that flexibility is good. You look at what happens over across the pond. You look at Italy, you look at Spain, you look at France. And when you get to a point, whether it's Chianti, whether it's Bordeaux, or it's Burgundy, that the government steps in and tells you exactly what percentage of grapes can go into their blend, exactly how long you can age it, where you can grow it, and how long you can plant it, then what happens is you wind up with a whole bunch of cookie-cutter wines where people can't express themselves or be free. So that's not necessarily a good thing. So before everyone goes out and freaks out, nobody needs to freak out here, flexibility is good. Now, okay, we've looked at location. We've looked at everything else. Well, I know some of you are sitting there thinking, well, if it says 1999 on the bottle, at least I know it came from 1999. The vintage, hey, you can't make up a vintage. You can't lie about a vintage. I may not be able to know the varietal. I may not be able to know where it came from. I may not be able to know who grew it. But if it has a year on it, I know it came from that year. Well, not exactly. Now, granted, Lawson Chardonnay does have 2010 on the bottle, but only, once again, remember that rule of 85 I talked about? Only 85% of that Lawson Chardonnay from 2010 is really from 2010. 15% of it could come from 09, 15 from 08, 15% from 07. Now, granted, it being a Chardonnay, I would really like all of it to be from 2010. It just lends to the freshness thing. But once again, just because the vintage is on it does not mean it all came from that particular year. I have motivation to move things around. Now, I want you to think about this. This one is actually in our favor because no one deliberately holds back old Chardonnay, old Cabernet, and say, oh, well, you know what? I've been looking at that barrel over in the corner of the winery for about 6 years. I just need to get rid of it. I'll put a little bit in this year's vintage and no one will notice. This is great for Solera systems. This is great for old Cabernet, old Merlot, because what happens as the wine breaks down and ages, it gets softer, the tannins soften out. So by adding some of 2 years ago, 3 years ago's cuvee blends, then what you can do is soften up this year's vintage. Also, you find this a lot in champagne. I'm sorry. You find this a lot in sparkling wine here in the United States and in a lot of your off varietals because it helps lend consistency to a house style. So, okay, we have totally trashed brand name, bottlers, type of wine. We've gotten rid of vintage. We've gotten rid of region. We've gotten rid of varietal. So really, what is left? Well, of course, we now have the most important thing left is the alcohol. And we all know how strict government is when it comes to alcohol. So obviously, if a bottle of wine has 13.8% alcohol in it, we know for a fact that it has 13.8% alcohol, right?
Correct.
Wrong.
Oh, gosh.
I know. In the States, you can have a variance of 1.5% on alcohol. So just because that wine says 13.5%, it can actually swing all the way down to 11% or all the way up to 15%. So it does make it a little bit more difficult to try and gauge things. Actually, there was an article recently in some of the wine news talking about the alcohol swing on a lot of wines, and this fascinated me. The Guardian out of UK sat down and analyzed 129,000 different wines from around the world over 16 years. They've spent a lot of time on the study to make sure they got it right. 57% of the wines they tested, the alcohol was actually higher than listed on the label. So whereas the average repeated saying that, oh, all the 129,000 wines that we have tasted and we have produced, the actual alcohol average was supposed to be 12.8%. In reality, it was actually 13.4. So that tells you it's a major swing. Now, here's what I thought was most interesting. Now, granted, this is coming from The Guardian. It's a UK-based wine publication. But it's saying that Chile, Argentina, and U.S., in that order, were the worst offenders by having the alcohol moved by percentage points. So, you can't tell how much alcohol is in your wine. Well, I'm only going to talk about this briefly because we have beat this horse to death on the show. This, to me, the fact there is ability to fluctuate in the alcohol content on a bottle is why I do not see any point in further advocating the labeling laws that are going in front of various houses in Congress right now. If you can't tell exactly how much alcohol is in a bottle day in and day out, how can you tell how much is in a serving? So why even bother breaking it down? There's my little soapbox for the day. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap this up and see what exactly you can trust on a wine label and why.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/TheWineCrush. That's Lot18.com/TheWineCrush.
Convenient? You could say that.
Lots of branches, lots of ATMs, online, on your phone. When it comes to ways to bank, Bank of America's got it covered.
With so many ATMs, I can do my banking anytime, anywhere. There's one right by work.
I've got a Bank of America near my gym.
There's one near my home, near where the kids play soccer.
I like to do my banking online. Pay my bills, set up alerts. It's fast, secure.
I'm more of a mobile person. With Bank of America's mobile app, I can use my smartphone to transfer funds, check my balances, right here in the grandstands during a yellow flag.
Bank whenever, wherever, however you want. With Bank of America, the official bank of NASCAR. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com.
Requires enrolling in online banking. Carrier fees may apply. Online bill pays and optional service alerts not available in Idaho or Washington. Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc., copyright 2011, HGJ Licensing, LLC.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today, we are proving that you can't judge a book by the cover, and you essentially cannot trust your wine label. Now, is that necessarily a bad thing? I just want to keep reiterating that no, it's not, but you need to be aware of what's going on in your bottle. You need to be aware of what's going on when you purchase something. Once you go in making certain set assumptions, it will keep you from getting in trouble. So really, when it comes down to it, there's only 3 things left we haven't talked about as far as what comes on a bottle of wine. Just to remind you again, brand name, the bottler's address producer, the type of wine, the alcohol content, the sulfite warning, the net contents, and the government warning. Do you realize that out of the seven things that have to be on a wine label, there's only three things left we haven't talked about? The government warning and the sulfite warning. Those two things are pretty much going to be truth in advertising. The government is going to warn you about the risk of drinking wine. That's not something that's going to be false. It's not going to be something that's misleading. It is printed on all bottles of wine. Now, I'm sure there's plenty of studies and plenty of doctors out there that would like to argue one way or the other. I know for a fact on the show we have talked about the benefits of red wine and white wine and phenols and everything else in the bottle. But nevertheless, the warning is there. It's not going to change. It's going to be consistent whether we agree with it or not. The other thing on the bottle is a sulfite warning. It's going to let us know that sulfites are indeed in the bottle. At least we think they're in the bottle. They should be in the bottle. Anything that's 10 parts over a trillion has to be labeled with a sulfite warning. So it's just safe to say there's going to be a sulfite warning on all bottles. And the only other thing that we can actually look at a bottle and gauge as true is going to be the net contents of the bottle. So finally, we had the net contents, 750 milliliters, 1.5 liters. Check, done. So we know what's right and we know what's wrong. Those are the seven things. We know what we can expect. We know what we can respect. But see, here's what I wanted to get across to you. It does not matter how much you know about wine. It does not matter how much you know about region, how much you know about vintage, how much you know about a producer. Because ultimately, there is leeway in every bottle that's produced. It doesn't matter that the vintage was great. It doesn't mean all the wines from that vintage. It doesn't matter that Russian River had an outstanding year because all the grapes aren't necessarily from Russian River. It doesn't mean that Behringer had an outstanding year this year because, well, it may not all have been Behringer grapes. There is a lot of adaptability. There's a lot of flexibility. And as people turn and look at the United States and say that, hey, there's not enough truth in labeling. There's not enough truth in what you say and what you do. Ultimately, I like to think that sometimes it's less about the truth and more about freedom, and it's more about a freedom of speech. Because ultimately, as I mentioned earlier, I would much rather be able to have a little play in my mind about what's in a bottle and what's not in a bottle, and let my winemakers be able to create the masterpieces and great things they're doing, as opposed to looking towards the history of wine and looking towards the strident procedures that the rest of the world has to go through, particularly old world, to craft their wines. I like the freedom. I like the creativity, which is why it is fun to be in the wine business, and it's fun to have a little doubt when you buy that bottle. I'm Laura Lawson. We have had fun here on The Crush today, but as always, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.